Okay, guys, today there's a podcast episode actually in English. Most of the episodes are in German, but today we have Normandie here, and I'm super happy to have her because she's from the licensing agency Blaublut. And yeah, I would say, please introduce yourself. Who are you? What is your background? What are you doing?
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you very much for the invitation, Miriam. And also doing it in English. I will talk maybe a little bit slower for your German audience, if that helps. So, as you mentioned already, I am from the image licensing agency Blaublut Edition. We are based in Munich, in Germany. And for everybody out there who doesn't know exactly what an image licensing agency does, I will explain to you. We offer an image archive to clients where we, in our case, depict images from beauty, lifestyle, fashion industry, and also our clients are based from the same industries. What we do is we receive the rights from photographer to license their work and market it for them to specific high-end clients. And this is another way of photographers to promote their work. It is also for cl our clients, if we just take editorial clients, for instance, in this case, it is a very good access or image source that they can use if they need to depict a certain story. So in general, how magazines works is they obviously have their fashion section and travel section and so forth, and they have a budget for shooting, and they also have a budget for licensing images because you can't always be on location to do a story. You just need one image, so it's much more cost effective for a magazine to just then go to an image licensing agency and look for the perfect image. This can cover many, many stories from the beauty industry, for instance, whether it's, summer trend topics coming up, the usual glowing skin, tan skin, but also very much industry related, depending on what the new beauty trends might be out there. Therefore, we also keep our eye very close on the development of the beauty industry, what is happening. And for that, we use forecast agencies who predict the trends for 26, 27 already, and just prepare our archive as well for these upcoming trends. For that, we work closely with the photographers. We give them the ideas of what to do. And that they in return will then deliver us beauty trends, hair trends, or whatever it is that we request from them.
That's
So.
so interesting. I want to go into the trend topic later for sure, but maybe you can share with us what is your background? How does it come that you said, well, it's for example not a modeling agency. You could for sure be an amazing booker or model scout. I am sure. But why did you said, well, for me, it's more the photography or licensing part. Did you came from a photographer background, or maybe you can share also more information about that?
So I'm originally from Cape Town in South Africa, and I think it was a era where all the girls then just started to do modeling, and it was also around the area of 2001 when in America they had that the big 9/11, and then the whole fashion industry shifted from going to Florida, Miami to Cape Town. Everybody discovered Cape Town. And so it was a time where the model industry was really booming. A lot of clients were there. And then at one stage, I don't know, people pushed me and said, well, why didn't you go? So I went in that direction. And it was good for a young girl to earn money. It was easy money, to be quite honest, because you did your castings and you did your shoots and advertising and whatever. And then I did that for a while, being in the model agency, and I picked up my experiences from there. And then in 2004, oh, sorry, now let me go back. Okay, so then I started also at one stage concentrated more on a career, and I did work for a fashion designer there. So I stayed within the industry, basically. 2004, I came to Germany, not speaking a single word of German. It was very, very hard in the beginning. So
It's a hard language. It's
it's,
not easy to
yeah,
learn.
it was very tough. And then I thought, okay, well, what can I do in Germany? I wasn't really sure. And then I thought, well, why don't I just take my book and I start going to model agencies in Munich and see. And I got declined one by the other. They all declined me for the simple fact, and that was that I was too short. So I'm 172. It's not the
Luckily, the
tallest.
industry changed. I'm
Yeah.
5'4", working full time, but
Yeah.
back then, of course, height was a big thing,
Height
right?
was a big thing. So catwalk models, it was huge. So it was fine for me in Cape Town. It somewhat worked for catalog, jobs. It was fine, but in Germany they were very strict. And then I just didn't was not motivated at all because I thought no. And then I was lucky enough to get a an internship at a previous photo agency that used to be in Munich, and that's where I started because they were actually looking for someone who speaks English and that could serve their international clients. And I did it, and for 3 years I was in it, and it was, I learned a lot. I mean, besides learning German, I also learned a lot about the photo licensing agency. We worked a lot with celebrities back then, German as well as American celebrities, and I had to promote their work, and it was, the Justin Biebers and those kind of people, the young stars from back in the day. But it was very good. It was very interesting. And after doing that for 3 years, I then changed agencies. And in 2009, I started with along with my current boss, Gudrun Vronsky, Blaublit Edition. It was the reason for that was 2009 was the financial break worldwide. Everybody was going bankrupt, basically, and photo agencies were also suffering. And everybody went down into what you call micro stock. So everybody started selling their images for 20 euros, for instance. Whereas before we were used to selling images for 500 euros, for example. And so the question came up, okay, so what do we do? Do we follow the market? Do we offer dumping prices? And we just said, no, we're gonna go the different direction. We're going to start the niche photo agency, which was the birth of Blaublit Edition. And we started taking on photographers who were more from high-end fashion industry. It took a lot of work in the beginning. You had to convince photographers about the idea, the concept, what it was about. But and also for us, it was a lot of learning by doing. But now over the years, we know our clients, we found our niche, and it's now, what are we now? 2025. So it's been a while, since 2009 that we've been promoting the work of our photographers and the agencies. Yeah.
That's so interesting. It's such an amazing background because for me, when you are in the industry, for me, the most successful, interesting people are always coming from a modeling background. Because when you have the side of modeling, you have insights to so many other different directions. Maybe it's makeup artists, maybe it's a fashion designer, because you work with all those people. So it's very interesting. I said it in the because we talked before the podcast episode, and I said, I am sure you would be an amazing booker as well. You would probably be an amazing agency owner. So maybe in the future, one day, because you have so many different backgrounds and insights from the whole industry. And I just love it. So, yeah, thank you for sharing. Very,
Thank
very
you.
interesting. And also nice to hear what you made of your career and where you started.
Thanks a lot.
So basically, you said you are working with many clients in different directions. What would you say in general is the most interesting direction? So, for example, is it the magazine industry, or do sometimes also come, I don't know, designer to you guys and say, we want to have this image or that image? Or is it mainly away from the advertisement industry, more in the magazine direction?
So our main focus is editorial clients, but also advertising as well, with the focus, like I said, beauty. Beauty images just has a longevity to it. So an image can for 2 years stay interesting for clients. I mean, you know, the industry changes constantly, from model look to photography style. So these are all aspects you have to keep in mind. And in order to grow with the industry, you need to inform yourself constantly. You need to keep your finger on the pulse of the industry. I mean, I always must be honest, I say Instagram is a very good reference just alone for giving me an idea of the style of the photography that is current out there. Obviously, my algorithm offers me that because that's what I like and look for, but it's a good indication of where things are going. But keep your eye on not on not model agency, but photography agencies, I would say, because they and also the important ones, because they are the ones who book the top photographers. And watch out what the style is there. I was also recently with a very high-end German client, and they use Zara website as a reference, for
Oh,
instance.
wow.
And not only Zara, they use Zara Home, for instance, because that's the style that they think is the most modern and appealing to them, you know? So I think it's very important that you constantly do your homework on every aspect of the industry. If you are also a model out there, you know, go onto Pinterest, put on mood boards for yourself, put on mood boards in the direction of what you think you would like to move or where you see yourself, for instance. I think it's very, very important that you do that. But doing the homework and staying on top of the industry trends is probably one of the most important aspects to keep you in the forefront of your game, no matter in what industry you are, like whether it's makeup, photographer, model, us as the image agencies as well. I need to keep up with the industry, otherwise you are going to be just left behind in the dust.
Yeah, because the industry is constantly changing. I also always say it to the models we work with. You can't say, well, but 10 years ago it was like that or that. Well, 10 years ago is not relevant anymore. 10 years
No.
ago, completely different trends, completely different way of promoting, for example, an advertisement. Nowadays, it's just not the case anymore. So, what would you say is trendy now when it comes to, for example, images? What kind of photography would you say is trendy now? And maybe you can compare it to the industry 10 or 15 years ago. What was trendy back then?
So obviously, trendy back then is like, you know, in my generation, it was the supermodels, Cindy Crawfords, Claudia Schiffer, and so forth, you know. And this is a handful of top models, which back then was huge, and they were consistent also, and they were for a very long period of time consistent. And why were they so long consistent is only because the industry, I think, just moved much slower back then in compared to today. Now it's all about what is the newest and what is the newest tomorrow. It's very fast paced nowadays. People get very bored very quickly,
Yep, true.
which means every single client out there needs to keep his audience so hooked and interested in their product that they constantly need to deliver new content, new trends, new designs, and so forth. You know, and there's a rule. If you can make someone's thumb stop while scrolling on Instagram, then you've reached your goal. Other than that, you are gone. You are gone within a swipe. And you know, the swiping method, I think, is more, or swiping factor is a very important one. Sorry to say, but let's take, I've never been on the Tinder app, yeah, but if someone swipes you away, you are away apparently. So you either to the left or to the right. And that is basically where we are a day nowadays. So for models, it is, I think it is very difficult for models to keep up. You cannot organize a shoot that fast or your images to offer it to the client the next day. You know what I mean? Like you constantly, if you are promoting yourself, your social media is probably nowadays more important than what your portfolio book is when going to clients. You have to make sure you have a social media presence. We didn't have that back then. We didn't have social media back then. Your portfolio and your Z card were basically the things that took you to the next level. That's it. And you had to run from one casting to the other with your flip flops, put on the high heels before you enter the client's office. And
Yep.
so, and that's just how it was. And nowadays you have to take care of so many channels as well as a model. And you are right when you say with Instagram or social media in general. But also there, don't bore your client. I'm not, if I was a client, I would not be interested in what you were eating this morning. I probably would also not be interested in what you are wearing this morning. I want to see your personality. I want to see what you offer me in front of the camera. And then I want to probably see the looks that you can do. But for the models, like I said, to keep up is difficult. So I would personally advise nowadays as a models is find your niche. If I was a booker, and you as a model would walk through my door today, my first question that I would ask you as a model is, what are the three top compliments that you receive out there from either complete strangers or your family or friends? And if you tell me, oh, I constantly get compliments on my beautiful hair, or I get compliments because I have a beautiful smile. Then for me, immediately, this is that I say these are the assets that you own, and these assets belong to you. No one can take them away from you. And these are the assets that you need to use and monetize in your life. Forget about wanting to necessarily be on the cover of Vogue because you probably want to make it anyway. But there are so many clients out there that maybe loves your smile. So offer them smiley, beautiful, free, loving care images. If you have great hair, make sure you do a shoot where you just showcase your hair, in different styles or whatever this might be. Do that. Fine, go sit down, do your homework, create mood boards for the vision that you have. Find a photographer that has a photographic style that is very current at the moment. You will not get the Vogue photographer, that's obvious, but you will find other ones. Photographers are constantly looking to work with models or to shoot because they also need to grow their own portfolio. And just make the connections, make connections with these people, offer them, tell them, this is where I see myself, this is what I want to do, this is my vision. Because to be honest, also photographers don't have the vision sometimes. They have the talent to shoot, but they don't necessarily have the vision for a story, for instance, So you need to assist them also with that. And just put everything together and work on these things and focus on three aspects in the beginning as a model and just use that. I mean, if you love to cook as a model as well, then have a different Instagram account for that cooking show. But keep it focused, I would say. And start from there. Start from the basics. Less is more. I always tell it to our photographers. And if I work with a model, maybe even when it comes to styling, our clients, what they want to see is they want to see clean, beautiful images. They are not interested in seeing designer brands. As soon as I get an image on the desk where I see a brand, I unfortunately cannot use it because our clients will not use it for what they need. The reason is simple, I'm telling a story and I'm not selling a brand, you know what I mean? So I, in many cases, get in images which are very nice, but there are a lot of moments where there's one little aspect in an image that makes it just unfortunately not sellable. And it can be anything from having a beautiful lifestyle beachy image and the model having like Vixen color nail polish. It doesn't work for them. It needs to be clean and natural. You know what I mean? My eye is obviously trained over the years for that. I always tell my photographer or our photographers, I'm very critical when it comes to selecting images, and they don't understand, but why not? And I said, I promise you, I only do it because I know my client. And that's another thing, know your client,
Yeah.
know them.
But what would you say are the trends when, for example, a model has the feeling, I want to be in an Elle magazine, I want to be in Vogue. When we pick those two magazines, for example, and Vogue, what do they want to see? What, like you said, always simple and basic. I also say it always to models, please keep it simple, basic. Like the basic modeling rules, you can't have fake nails, you can't have fake lashes. It's just something, it's the basic. You just have to go with this flow because otherwise clients will complain anyways. But if we say, because many models are always like, I want to be in Vogue, I want to be in Elle, I want to be in one of these amazing high fashion trendy magazines, what do they want to see? And are they maybe also looking for a specific type of look?
Yeah, they definitely have a specific type. I mean, Vogue is very specific on the type of model. And the type of model is basically that what you are seeing on right now, which are the top models, for instance. So they have a unique look. They have a unique hairstyle. Vogue is very specific in what they want. And then on top of the type of model, they're also specific on the type of the photography that they use, you know, the style of the photo. So this is a very important component to them. But I need to say also, the image licensing industry is not just about, you know, selling an image. For instance, if you want to end up in Vogue and you have the hope that you end up in Vogue, it's not that easy because Condé Nast as a whole, for instance, they themselves again have a pool of images and an archive of images which they first need to use before they even look to external sources. So whether we come or whether the model comes to present her work, by the time they eventually take your image, it's only because they didn't find anything that they want in their own pool. So this saying, your image has to be so unique, you need to be a unique of a model for them as well. I think when it comes to Vogue, probably until today, it's still the classic long, thin, sleek model kind of thing as we know it. When it comes to Elle would probably be a bit more feminine. They would more than likely show maybe a bit more of a curvy model, for instance. But they also have in general the same rule that it needs to be something unique, you know, the topic that you offer, for instance, needs to be unique. And if you want to do that, if you want to offer images to magazines, and this is what we also keep in mind about what time of the year do you offer it to them? Now we are in summer. It's fine to say you did a summer shoot somewhere and you think you're going to, you know, offer it to a magazine right now. But a magazine always has a 3 month, they work 3 months in advance, which means right now the magazines are actually already focusing on the autumn issue. So you need to keep that in mind as well. So it might, maybe not this year, your summer images will come be interesting for them, you know, but there's a turnaround, obviously. So the next time, so think in advance if you want to do a shoot for a magazine. What would be interesting for my magazine come November, October, December, for instance? And you literally now have to think in that direction. We have to think in that direction already as well. So that you also have to keep in mind if you think of wanting to place your images somewhere. Buy the magazine, get a feel for the type of images they use. Definitely don't focus on the fashion section. I promise you, I think there's one of the biggest mistakes that models make is that they think if I wear head to toe designer clothing, I'm going to end up in a magazine. You won't. The magazines, when it comes to fashion, they want to do their own thing. They don't need the direction from anybody else. It's different with Eastern European magazines. If a photographer does something, you know, and they give the images for free to the magazines, then more than likely they use it. But the German clients, rarely do that.
Yeah.
Also with our American and French clients as well, it's rarely the case that they would take a fashion series from us.
I also always say to models, I get it that it's an absolute goal to be an Elle or Vogue, but we need to be very honest. Those magazines, as you said, still want to have a very specific type of a model. And I also think it's important to just be honest. If you look through the magazine and you don't see anyone who looks like you, who has the height, the body type like you have, then probably the magazine won't use your pictures because you're not the person they're looking for. I always explain the high fashion industry is so specific, and most models out there want to be a high fashion model. They sometimes come to me and say, Miriam, I am 5'5", but I want to be a high fashion model. And I always say the same. It's not worth it. You
No.
are going to get a lot of no's, more no's than you would get anyways. No one is going to book you. Probably, maybe you have one job a year where you can do something in the high fashion direction, but you can't make a living out of it. So
No.
to say, well, I don't have the height, I don't have the measurements, I don't have the look, but I want to be a high fashion model doesn't make sense at all. So do you have maybe other magazines in mind where you say, okay, maybe when you're not on the edgy side, on the Vogue L side, that could be a possibility. Maybe some more on the commercial industry, or maybe is it that you say, well, probably you don't have the high fashion look for the Vogue or the L in the high fashion direction for clothes, but maybe for beauty. Maybe you can share some insights regarding that.
When I think once again, if you go back, for instance, now the Gen Z thing is quite big at the moment for that generation. If I look, let's say we look at more younger models, I for instance like Nuxe Cosmetic. I think they have a very good take on the Gen Z and what they do there. It's edgier. It's definitely a broader spectrum of models that can probably end up there. So that's a very good example for me for a cosmetic company to use an example to say, okay, go there and check out what are the models, what do they use, that kind of niche. And on the other spectrum, there are more mature models, but there's so many clients out there, also for mature models as well. I'm gonna just say name now. Let's say whether it's Valeda or Dr. Hoshka or whoever that might be, you know. I mean, there is definitely a demand for the mature female as well to show, you know, show the wrinkle on your skin, show skin pigmentation that you have. Don't be scared to show also what comes with age, because none of us have perfect bodies, you know. But models, if they start, I think you have to ask yourself the question, why am I starting this? Why do I want to be a model? Do I want to be a model because I want to be on the cover of Vogue? That's the wrong entry, because like you said, you will not probably easily make it in Vogue or Elle magazine. You start because you say, okay, I have a passion for being in front of the camera. I feel comfortable in moving in front of a camera. Because these aspects also, you know, it's very transparent on the picture if a model feels comfortable in front of a camera and so forth. Do I only want to make money? So find your driven force behind the motivation of why you want to become a model. The money aspect is obviously a very lucrative aspect in the model industry in general. And you can make a lot of money not ending on Vogue. Because Vogue doesn't pay a lot of money, I
We all know how it is.
It's like you can make much more money with a client that maybe you haven't even heard of, or maybe they approached you because they saw an image of yours on Instagram or whatever, than what you will ever make with the high-end magazines. So, if money is the motivator, then try another client beside the high-end magazines. But you, like, I need to just go back. Like, once again, find your niche. If you have a beautiful face and a beautiful smile, go for it. Go for your beauty clients. show them different sides of yourself. You can do the natural look, but you can also do like some funky makeups. I mean, then you need to go and see, okay, what are the beauty trends? And the thing is, with nowadays, almost anything goes. So you can have fun with whatever. We have a photographer. She, for instance, her models are so diverse. She photographs with doing no retouching. You see the acne on the model's face, and she's doing beauty shooting campaigns because the client demands it. The spectrum is so broad nowadays. Photos are not being photoshopped until the skin looks completely like a mirror clean or whatever. Imperfection is actually could be your benefit. So I would really also really say to models, forget the high-end magazines. And these models that are in the high-end magazines, they didn't start there. They also started at the bottom. They had to work their way up. So start from the bottom and be consistent, stay informed, constantly update your portfolio, show the client what you can do, and don't try to fulfill the whole spectrum. Break it down to three main categories that you want to see yourself in and focus on those things.
You said
So,
so many important things. Also, like you said, there are so many niches where you can earn money as a model. And I think it's so refreshing. It started a couple of years ago that clients really want to see real skin. I
yeah.
actually told my audience last year, I got rejected for two major campaigns because the client said, "Well, Miriam, we love you, but your skin is too good. We
Okay.
want to see." Yeah, I was like, okay, well, what should I do? Like,
Me eat chocolates for a week.
I even have friends who started to, do things that the skin gets, a couple of breakouts because so
Yeah.
many clients, especially in the past years, wanted to see real skin, like acne, or maybe you have
Yeah.
scars or whatever. But many people think, no, I need to hide it. Nobody wants to see it. Actually, there are many campaigns out there who want to see it. So, as you said, the market is there and you need to find the niche and to accept as well that not everyone is going to be in a Vogue magazine, and that's fine because there are so many, other niches where you can just be part of. And a very important thing you said as well when we talked before was the money part. How do
Yeah.
you think about the money part? Is it something where you say, well, I mean, you can start out as a model just for making money, or would you not recommend it? How is it with the magazines? Is there a lot of money, or?
No, I would be honest. Obviously, we license images for photographers. When we license images, we clear model releases as well, which means the model agency then gives us the fee for their model. That really depends on what level the model is, and then on top they add the agency fee as well. But if you license the image and you're earning as a model with an agency like ours for editorial, let's say on average it's 80 euros. It's not a lot, but I'm obviously aware of the importance of a tear sheet as well for not only your portfolio nowadays, but for Instagram and so forth. I mean, agencies or models need it for visa applications. You know, they need to show these kind of work. So they forget about the 80 euros. Just think about the value that that usage brings you otherwise, because you need it. I mean, I know in my days, I had to the best going to a client. Obviously, if you could show work in your portfolio, that was a huge benefit for you, you
It
know.
is still nowadays.
So don't always think about the money aspect. Think about the value of what that usage can bring you. Whether it's online or wherever it might be, take it with and show clients what you've done. You know, you have to show them what you've done and your experiences and the exposure that you've had. So that's important. And I've never been a supporter of doing something only for the money because I think that's the wrong way of starting anything. I think you should do it because there's a passion for it. And if there's a passion for it, then it will show. My motto in life is, in order for it to work, you have to work. I think that is very important.
A good one. Yep.
You can't you just stay on the ball. You really need to put in the work for it, and inform yourself. Talk to people, no matter who you are talking to, see in which direction you can go. And if you are struggling, take a break. Go have a holiday somewhere. Change of scenery is always good. But also, as a model, if you use also the possibilities you have, if you have the possibility to travel all over the world because that's your thing, then use the aspect of using the location where you are, and make your images interesting as well. But yeah, I mean, you need. The world is so huge. The influx of what the clients are seeing is so big. Make yourself interesting. Make yourself also consistent in your niche so that the client, at the end of the day, he will remember you and probably come back to you as well. And then I don't know with the models, like if they have bookers as well, talk to your booker. Tell them, listen here, if you are not happy with what you see on the website of the model agency, tell them that. Talk
Very
to them.
important.
You have to communicate because I'm aware that not all bookers are also always in touch with what's happening. If I look sometimes at models, I don't understand sometimes why the model agencies have certain images of a model where when I look at it, I'm like, there's so much more that one can do with her, like that kind of thing. So talk to them, listen to feedback. Feedback is the only thing that's going to push you forward, no matter what. And if the agency doesn't work for you, then swap, change,
You said
but
many, so many good tips
sorry.
already, and we could do a whole episode just with these tips, but it's so true. So it's not worth it to stick with an agency when you see they don't see any potential in you. I swapped back then one of the major agencies in Germany because they didn't saw what I saw in myself, and I can't work with that. So if you don't have a good support system regarding your agency, switch the agency. And also, as you said, it's important to communicate with the agency your book online. Of course, it comes with a know-how that you need to help yourself, because when you just started out, you probably won't have the feeling of what clients like, what clients don't like. But if you feel that you are in the industry for a long time, for example, I am in the industry now for 22 years. So I worked with so many clients. I know what they want to see. I know what they don't want to see. If you see something on the website that they probably don't want to see, you can let your agency know. I did it several times, and of course with respect, nicely and friendly. But it is a mix of both worlds that come together, the agency know-how and your know-how as a model. And if you work together, it would, yeah, magic. Things can happen. So,
Sure. I mean, and like we all say, the industry is changing so fast. You need to keep up with it. And I mean, we females, we change with every passing year. You get more confident with over the years. You find maybe, okay, I feel I can do more of this and this and this, or I have a certain talent, or over the years I've developed a talent for or a passion for, and maybe you can bring it into your model work somehow. But the communication in every aspect is very, very important with
yeah.
every brick of your industry that you have with everybody. So I mean, I say, well, I for my photographers that we work with from the beginning, I say I'd rather give you my honest opinion that you know where I stand, the way you stand with me, and then there's no question marks later. Or just don't be upset, for instance, if I don't take on certain images. Don't be upset with client if they don't want to book you because of this and this, like you said, with the skin, for instance, because the next client might be exactly looking for that beautiful porcelain skin. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. So, but cover your bases and use, like, once again, I really want to exclaim the thing of your assets. Really focus on that because that's the thing that's going to make you stand out at the end of the day.
Yeah. I want to add a topic just really quick because
Yeah.
I try to keep the episodes at 30 minutes max.
Okay.
Already over it, but I would love to hear your perspective also on AI. How do you see it only in when we see the relation to magazines? Do you see magazines use AI? What do you think is the future regarding that part of being a model? Having the AI part, I think very positive about it, to be honest. My audience knows. I don't struggle. I don't see any issues.
Yeah.
I don't get jobs anymore, or so on. It's just a new part of the modeling industry. But do you see that magazines are into the AI trend, or what is going on there?
So magazines are still very cautious with AI. They respect the photography as an art still, so they will rather support photography. In our experience, there's no need for photographers nor for models to get nervous about AI. AI is a tool and it's a creative tool that the industry is using. I love it. I'm all for AI in the sense of supporting whether it's my daily work, whether it is to enhance something. I believe that AI is only as powerful as the creative hand behind it. Because it's the same as with, once everybody had an iPhone, everybody, all photographers thought, oh, now everybody is a photographer. No, everybody wasn't a photographer. We all took pictures, but we weren't photographers.
Not at all,
But
yeah.
it created a different new thing. What it did bring, it all of a sudden you heard terms like content creator, you influencer. It opened just a completely new branch to the industry. And I think AI will eventually do that as well. I had to send a brief the other day to our mutual friend, Malia, because I couldn't find the vision I had in my head for what I wanted her to do. And I could only translate it because I did it with AI. And I said, okay, well, there's the AI image of my vision. And she got it. You know what I mean? So it's a communication between creatives as well. But I mean, H&M, I don't know if you saw that article where they did the twin model with AI now. And that's fine. People get nervous. But the thing is, model agencies also need to keep up with the industry. What does this mean? Oh, I have an AI model. It means that the model agency needs to make sure that contracts are updated, that the model gets a proper payment because her AI image is out there. So her fees must just be higher at the end of the day. It's about adapting, and the human has, we have to adapt. If you don't adapt, then you are off the bandwagon. That's how I see it. But don't get nervous about it in the right now. There's no need to get nervous. And what we and the image licensing industry still face is the problematic with copyright and AI. It's not, it's a very gray zone at the moment, so therefore clients are nervous about it. Once it is cleared, and I believe at the end of the day it will fall towards AI, then there might be more of a shift, but I wouldn't get nervous about it. I would use it as a support tool. Like,
Yeah.
go for it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I see it the same way as you
Yeah.
do, and I see it as a plus because I'm also a huge fan of buyouts. I'm always happy when a client says, "Well, Miriam, you want to use your picture for 3 more years," and I get a huge amount of money on my bank account without doing anything. It's just the
Yeah.
fact that they still want to continue to use the pictures, and I love it. I don't have a
Yeah.
problem with getting money without being on set or without doing anything. So
Yeah.
I also see it as a huge opportunity if you're able to keep up with the trends. And still, there will always be some parts of the model world you can't replace with AI, anyways. And also, clients like I shoot frequently for many e-com clients now this year. And I talk to them about that topic. And many of them say, well, Actually, it's so expensive to get the AI software. You need to have someone who can handle all of this stuff, and you need to have a proper model to create the AI person. It's so expensive that for them now, it doesn't even make sense. It will change in the future for sure. But then, as a model, go for it and just take the positive parts
Yeah.
and yeah, earn money with it. There's always
Yeah.
a way to earn
Be
money.
flexible. Like, I think the at the moment clients are cautious because their audience gives them a lot of negative criticism for AI. So
True.
everybody is cautious. But models, just be flexible, no matter what it is. You know, if you are going to be complicated in any area of what you are doing, clients are just not going to be wanting to work with you also. So be confident, be stern in what you do, and know your value, but be flexible also,
Yeah.
because this also contributes to, you know, it's a give and take like anything else in life. The next opportunity might come because in the past you were flexible to do something for free, for instance, or whatever, you know. So it's how it is, yeah.
Amazing. Normandie, thank you so much for your
Pleasure.
amazing tip. And yeah, it was so refreshing, a complete different topic than we discuss usually in the podcast. I mean, we talked about magazines, but it's still so refreshing to have your perspective and to have those insider from you that I obviously don't have because I don't work for a photography licensing agency. So that's amazing. If people want to follow up with you guys, where can they find you? Do you have an Instagram account? Or maybe Blaublut has an Instagram account. Do you want to make some advertisement?
Okay. So everybody can visit our site directly at blaublut-edition.com. And our Instagram is just Blaublut Edition. It's the name of the account. But you will find most of the information on the website, or you can look me up at LinkedIn, Normandie Hoffmann. And if you have any questions about, you know, licensing, or even if you are a model and you say, you know, I have the rights to my images, I'm always happy to look at images and see if one can place them or take them up with the archive or not. So I'm always open for discussion. So
Amazing.
thank
Thank you so much for your time.
you.
And
I thank you also for the time. It's lovely meeting you and speaking to you.